Australia has officially taken over the G20 presidency for 2014. The G20 is a group of finance ministers and central bank governors from 20 major economies, 19 countries plus the European Union. During the 2014 November summit, 4,000 delegates and 3,000 media representatives will descend on Brisbane at a cost to the Commonwealth of about $400 million. So just how relevant is the G20 and what kind of agenda will Australia be steering? To answer this question, I spoke to John Curtin, the co-director of the Canadian-based G20 Research Group, which is a global academic network that provides independent research and advice on the G20. I caught up with him during a recent visit to Brisbane, which of course will be the host for the next year's G20 summit.
I think the first thing we really need to say from the Australian summit is the real delivery of Australia's central theme, private sector-led growth. We need a new burst of strong, sustainable growth in the global economy, particularly when Europe, the United States is still struggling. But the big booming BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, that we've counted on for the past decade, most of them are slowing down. So where's the new growth going to come from? We know it can't come from governments spending more money to produce that demand because they're running out of money. Deficits are mounting in most G20 countries. Government debt is building up and up. It's got to come, that growth, from the private sector. So the world is...
And yet we've seen sluggish growth in the private sector because of those factors that you've just referred to.
We have, and for a number of reasons. One is a lack of confidence about what the rules of the game are. What will be the new rules for banking capital and liquidity, for other parts of the financial services industry? What will be the real rules for taxes on carbon, taxes on mining? So we need a degree of regulatory certainty that's smart enough to produce regulations so we avoid the kind of behavior when we saw the financial system.
And you believe the G20 has a role in it?
Oh, very much. From the very beginning, they've been focusing on stronger, smarter, internationally coordinated financial regulation. And they've delivered already a few big things. Better banking capital, liquidity, leverage ratios, focusing on bigger buffers for globally financial banks, insurance companies. They're now moving on to what's called shadow banking, right? Still a long way to go, but Australia is one of the leaders in the G20. It was one of those countries that really didn't have a banking crisis. None of its big banks failed. So there's great confidence that Australia has known what it's doing here at home and can help lead the G20 as a whole into a better financial regulation.
Given that, then, will there be strong expectations that an Australian G20 summit will be able to deliver?
Oh, yes, for a number of reasons, amongst all the 20 countries in the G20. From the time the G20 began at the finance ministers and treasury secretaries level back in 1999, Australia has been one of the most enthusiastic, the most committed members. That hosted a very successful G20 finance ministers meeting in Melbourne. The Australian Prime Minister, Kevin Rudd, was one of the great enthusiasts and most effective leaders at the beginning of the financial crisis and saying, look, we've got to deal with this at the summit level through the G20 and not a smaller group. The one thing that people ask about these summits, is it just a bunch of politicians, you know, making a whole bunch of promises?
Is it a talk fest?
Yeah. But they actually make, well, promises, but do they deliver them when they go back home? And we know, because we spent a lot of time in my group monitoring compliance with commitments. For the group as a whole, the compliance record is rising, but Australia stands out as number one in the lead. Australia has almost a perfect compliance record, so enormous credibility And behind it lies enormous commitment and skill to leading the G20 into doing a great job.
You're listening to RN Summer Breakfast. I'm speaking to John Curtin, who's the coordinator of the G20 Research Group from the University of Toronto. He's currently visiting the 2014 G20 Summit host city, Brisbane. John, you talked about your group providing advice, including to government. Does that advice also include guidance on handling the security issues around G20, which seems to be a bit of a preoccupation in coverage on G20 in Australia at this point?
It does, not in the narrow technical sense of advising on specific police tactics on the block, but certainly on how G20 governors and hosts can engage with the citizens on the local summit site and more broadly across the country to make the summit a success for everyone concerned. So the great process of learning and explaining that has to be done, and the local citizens in particular, but all Australians, deserve a chance in advance to tell their own government, the host, what they want the summit to do for them and for others in the world. So it's making that connection between the citizenry and civil society and G20 governors.
John Curtin, let's talk about the G20 more generally. How powerful is it as a forum? Does it still have relevance?
Oh, yeah. You know, for the first few summits, the world was in the throes of a great global financial crisis, and that inspired the G20 leaders at their start to do great things. But then the story goes, the crisis went away and G20 performance has declined. But that is just not what the evidence shows. No sooner did we get a handle on the first great financial crisis, the American or Atlantic turned global one, than a new one starting in 2010 popped up in Europe. Greece went bankrupt, then Ireland, Portugal, Spain. So the G20 had to focus on the harder job of preventing that crisis from going global, and that it did. And then by the time we got to St. Petersburg, the G20 had the space, that was the 8th summit last September, to take up some of the bigger problems in the world, including in the security domain. Taking the critical steps that led to the end of chemical weapons in Syria. That is a very big and highly surprising thing. But because of the St. Petersburg summit and some bilateral diplomacy in the immediate wake and lead up, that got done. So now after St. Petersburg, it's become the central forum for global governance and not just in the economic field.
John Curtin, thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
That was John Curtin, the co-director of the G20 Research Group at the Monk School of Global Affairs at the University of Toronto. And he's involved with a global network that provides independent research and advice on the G20.